Welcome to Legal, Legal, and the Coach, a show set to present local and national trailblazers in business and celebrity circles like authors and speakers who will share their stories, struggles, adventures in life, and keys to their success brought to you by Tough Talk Radio Network. Here are your hosts, David Altenburn and Brian Kaiser.
Welcome, listeners, from around the world to another fantastic, fully energized edition of Legal Eagle and the Coach. I'm the coach, Brian Kaiser, here with the soaring Legal Eagle, Mr. David Altenburn, and we welcome you all to the show. We're going to have a good time today. We have some great guests coming on. In fact, a guy that I follow very closely, Mr. Ray Higdon, will be our second guest, and we have Mr. Carl Dahlstrom up first. And we'll be getting to those guys here in just a few minutes. You know, before the show, David and I were talking, and it was kind of a little show prep. And he said, you know, what are we going to do for our monologue? And I said, you know, I don't know. I have this idea, that idea. He said, well, you know, it's still the springtime, and we just got, you know, finished with Easter. And we were talking about, you know, looking at our businesses, and, you know, it's time for people to ask, what if? You know, what if I did this? What if I did that? What if this happened? What if I made this occur in my business and in my life and this and that? And I thought to myself, I said, you know, that is a great topic. And I actually have a great Zig Ziglar quote just for that kind of messaging. So I want to read this quote real quick, and it comes with a really cool picture, and I sent it over to our producer, Tony, so hopefully he can shoot that up on the Facebook while we're on the air. If not, I can figure out how to do it real quickly while we're talking. But it says, while 9 to 5 and what happens on the job is important, what happens from 5 to 9 off the job is infinitely more important. And I got to thinking, you know, that really is something that the Legal Eagle and the Coach, being, you know, here to help entrepreneurs by entertaining them, educating them, and informing them, and bringing on great guests that do many different facets of businesses and have built many different types of businesses. I think it's a chance, like David mentioned in the show prep, to take a look and ask, what if? What are we doing in our lives to make sure that it stays in harmony? And I got to do a really great interview last week with James Arthur Ray, and his main point was, you know, people talk about a balanced life, and you want to live a balanced life. You got to live a balanced life. You got to get your life in balance. And if you think about the scales of justice, and the Legal Eagle probably loves that because it's the scales of justice. If the scales of justice are both equally balanced, what's happening? Nothing. There's no movement. There's nothing. So James made a great point that maybe it's not so much keeping your life in balance as it is keeping your life in harmony and making sure that everything's working together and that you have, you know, everyone's on the same page and everything flows synergistically instead of thinking about it in balance, in true balance. And I thought that was great for our quote today because, you know, what does happen from 5 to 9? Is your life in harmony with your family? Is your life in harmony with yourself? Have you asked yourself, what if I spent more time with the kids? If I spent more time, you know, meditating? If I spent more time reading and educating myself, what is it that it would bring to my life? How much better would things be? And how would that affect my business? Because happiness over in your personal life, whether you want to admit it or not, affects your business, and it affects how your day is going to run. It affects how your clients are going to react to you. It affects everything. And I can attest to this because this morning I got up in a terrible mood. I was in a terrible mood. And it was evident that I just wanted nothing to do with nobody. And it was bad. And I come to the office, and I'm doing a few things, and finally one of my good friends that happened to be in the office, and she's become a pretty good friend over the last few months, Danica Carruthers, was in. She was talking, she goes, Brian, you're just not at peace. You know, the world's just not, you know, not jiving with you because, and, you know, she's from the Bahamas, so she's, you know, she's telling me all about it. And, at first I was like, yeah, you know. But then I thought about mine and David's conversation, and what if she has a really good point. And what if I need to take a step back and say, you know, is my life in harmony? Am I doing the things that need to be done so that when I come to the office here, that I'm kind of at peace and focused on my daily chores, my daily activities? I mean, I have a lot of things planned during the day. I get to work with and talk with a lot of people. I get to post up a lot of things. Those of you that follow me on Facebook and Twitter have some really great things going on. Working on a really good event, which that's probably what put me in a bad mood, is I'm a couple of weeks behind on getting that launched. But, you know, what if I stepped back and got in a little more harmony with what's going on in my world, both on my family side and in my business side, and made that work synergistically instead of fighting it? How much more productive would I be? And, you know, it was funny because 2-3 minutes after the conversation, I had a whole different outlook on things. And it's been a great morning coming up here to the show as I got prepared. And I just thought, you know, that Ziegler quote just nailed it. You know, what happens on the job is important. But what happens off the job is infinitely more important. And keeping those things in harmony are really important because it affects a lot of people. You may not realize how many people you affect their lives by how you come into a room or how you answer the phone or even how you reply to a text message or an email. It affects those people. So, you know, David, that's the start to the show. What do you have to throw in there? Because I know that's a lot of message and pretty deep thoughts, but, you know, we are in that second 90 days of 2015. I think we need to step back and ask, what if?
Yes, great question. And, you know, when we were talking before the show, to give full credit to the what if question and looking ahead as we enter, you know, our second quarter, and kind of have that eternal optimism that comes with spring, it really was the start of the Houston Astros. You know, a team that, you know, wasn't that long ago that, you know, we had Roger Clemens here and we were playing in the World Series, and yet we've had, you know, three seasons, if you're an Astros fan, baseball fan, in which they had, you know, I think more than 100 losses and terrible seasons. And but then, you know, they got new owner and they've got, like, guys in the lower leagues that did very well. And so they're now developing as players, and they did some free agent chains. And it was the first game of the season. It said, this is the season of eternal hope. And what if, you know, and then they asked, you know, the baseball questions, and what if, and we can do the same with our personal lives, and we can do the same with our business, as you suggest. And then, you know, 90 days from now or whatever, when it's your time to reassess, you know, you may come up with five new associations or five new ways of doing things or processes or systems or ways to look at things in a fresh new way. Maybe add marketing, advertising out there in different ways than you have in the past. And then you can assess and see what works. I mean, that is the eternal struggle of the entrepreneur, the trials and tribulations that we talk about. Is, you know, we take two steps forward and then maybe one step backwards or sideways. But each day is a new day that we have that opportunity to make things happen in a better way for ourselves. And we hope through this radio show that we've given some education out there of value. I know for myself as a host, and I'm sure, Brian, you can attest to the same, and our producer, we learn a lot from our guests. We really do. And, you know, there's some common threads. Even the most successful and busiest people find time for themselves to relax, to re-energize, to kind of retool their ideas. We had one guest that takes one day off a week and just takes a day off a week to kind of do those kind of big planning things. And I like your start where you're talking Zig Ziglar. Brian Tracy would say the same thing, that from 9 to 5, should be FaceTime. That should be the time that we're with our customers, we're building the relationships, the influence makers, that we can do joint business with each other. But it's the time before 9 to 5. It's the time after 9 to 5 that we should really be focusing on our business, our planning, our to-do lists, our prioritization of those to-do lists, setting our goals, setting our strategies, really taking a hard look. It's like anything else. You talk to the greatest athletes and you'll find, you know, it isn't magic who wins the Masters golf tournament that's about to start this week. That same person was out after the third round, probably hitting balls on the range or around the greens, putting, trying to hone their game down. One of the players yesterday took 5 hours just on the nine around the greens, chipping and seeing the different angles that can come in. Now, if that player does well, it's going to be that preparation that got them to excel when it became game day. And that's the same for entrepreneurs. It's the hard work that we put in before 9 to 5 and after 9 to 5 that makes 9 to 5 the best that it can be. So it's a great start. We have great guests. I'm interested on the guest, our first guest, who's going to talk about helping pro se litigants in the legal process and some other great services that they provide to people that get involved in the legal process. As an attorney, I'm very interested in that. And then our second guest is someone who helps home-based businesses and those in marketing to grow their teams to be all that they can be in self-employment entrepreneurship. So let's get ready for a great show. About time for a commercial right now.
Yep, we'll be right back.
Are you looking to simplify your life and automate your business, but don't want to mess with learning multiple systems to do so? Good. You don't have to. Infusionsoft combines everything your business needs. Let the team at Growth Coaching Systems set up your email, CRM, and e-commerce into a single online system today. It's the easiest way to grow sales and save time. One monthly payment, one software to learn, and have it all on one dashboard. Infusionsoft. Get it now and market and sell like the pros. For more information or to sign up for Infusionsoft, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com/Infusionsoft.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
If you know someone who wants the legal A-team on their side, have them call on Altenburn & Associates, the Legal Eagle, today. David Altenburn is an experienced and recognized top lawyer in Houston who will put an eagle's eye to protecting the client's best interests at all times. For any personal injury, family law, or business law concern, Altenburn & Associates can help with our connections that count and make a difference for great results. We work hard for the justice our clients deserve, earning client trust and opponent respect, one case at a time. For legal help, call 281-904-6330 today.
Welcome back, listeners. This segment is brought to you by our good friends over at Events of Significance. They specialize in event planning for leaders, including entrepreneurs, authors, coaches, and speakers. They have knowledge and resources to increase your attendee count, create a signature experience, make a profit, and make you look like a rock star. So from details to done, not just creating an event, but creating results. Hire the Events of Significance team. You can find out more about them and actually get a discount by mentioning that you heard about them on this show by going to www.eventsofsignificance.com. Carl, welcome to the program. How are you doing today, sir?
Great, really good.
Excellent. Well, we're excited to have you on the show and learn more about what you do. And I always start off asking the guests to tell us a little bit about who they are.
Okay. Well, we're Paravocate Group, which is a private legal association under the First and 14th Amendment, Freedom of Association. We're not licensed attorneys because the U.S. Supreme Court says in about 70 cases that you can conduct your business two different ways. You can choose the public domain or the private domain. Of course, if you're in the public domain, you have to be a licensed attorney and so forth. But we chose the private domain there, you do not have to be licensed. You're outside the jurisdiction and authority of all state and federal agencies and law enforcement. And so we have private members then that sign a private contract with our private association in a private domain. So then we can give them legal aid and assistance. The only thing we basically can't do is speak for them in a court of law. But we can do all the pleadings, we can do all the research and everything else other than that one thing.
Gotcha.
Well, this is David Altenburn, a licensed attorney here for over 25 years in the Houston, Texas area.
Okay.
And I guess my question for you, you certainly provide great assistance for those that may not be able to afford an attorney or may believe that their situation is such that they maybe really don't need an attorney. I mean, am I correct that's kind of most of your clientele that they either can't afford it?
Well, that's part of our program. We have a pro se litigation level of membership where they can represent themselves, and we do all the research and pleadings and help them write their pleadings and appeals and so forth. And it's about a lot of times one-fifth of what a lawyer would charge, and we take them all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. But the other thing is about our program is that we do things that lawyers don't do. Most lawyers, like, for example, if a doctor is in trouble with the medical board, they just try to fight it on merits. We actually attack jurisdiction and authority of the agency or entity involved. For example, we found out with the medical board, they have 19 members. Nine of those have not taken oath of office. So they have no more authority than your neighbor's grandmother, and yet they're trying to take this doctor's license from him, which is a property right that he has under due process, under the Fifth Amendment. So when they come to us, we win a lot of cases that licensed attorneys usually won't touch. In fact, I had a member the other day that has a friend that's a licensed attorney, and he says, well, what happens, what do they do for you down there at Pro Advocate Group? And he says, well, they check oath of office, and they challenge the procedural things and so forth and so on, and challenge authority and jurisdiction. He says, well, that may work. But he said, that's just not the way we practice law. Well, how do they practice law? They better do it to try to win, because if you try to fight merits, for example, with the medical board, 95% of the time you're going to lose. And yet we win 95% of the time because we don't just fight merits, we fight jurisdiction and authority. And I already told you one thing that they don't do. For example, also besides not taking proper oath of office, they don't do indexing and cross-indexing that's required by statute. So that's a procedural error. They also try to treat it as a civil case when the Supreme Court says if you try to take a license away from a doctor, that's a quasi-criminal case.
Quasi-criminal, exactly.
Yeah, and it's not just preponderance of evidence standard review. It's a clear and convincing evidence that you have to use. And yet they ignore that and try to take a license away with preponderance of evidence. Well, we're the only people that I'm aware of out there that can help a doctor that attacks the problem or challenge them in the way that we do.
Well, you know, I understand what you say as far as not being able to speak in a court of law. That requires a license, which is a privilege that a lawyer has after passing law school and taking an exam. But one question I have for you, because in each state there is, you know, there is a fine line. Like even the public documents that you can get at an Office Depot or an Office Max about, you know, wills, and there's been issues about unauthorized practice of law. And when you get down to legal advice, I understand if there's public information out there and you're providing public information, but how do you get around not having charges of unauthorized practice of law when you give legal advice?
Well, if it's a publication, that case went to the Fifth Circuit, and the Fifth Circuit said as long as in your publication, legal publication, that you say that you're not a licensed attorney and this is not a substitute for a licensed attorney, is that you can publish what you're doing. Okay, now that's that part of it. Now, we do more than that, and we do more than publications. Of course, we have private members that we consult with and give legal aid and assistance, but that's under the First and 14th Amendment of the Constitution, and there's several Supreme Court cases. Now, we've been challenged by the Bar Association six different times here in Texas. Two times we went to court and beat them in court, and four times a lot of letter writing back and forth, and they finally give up. But they still try to say that we have unauthorized practice of law here. Well, what we do is authorized, not unauthorized practice of law, because there's, again, several Supreme Court cases that say as long as you only deal with private members, you're outside the public. In fact, if you read the administrative code on the Bar Association, and there's court decisions that say that their responsibility is only to protect the public, not the private members. But there is private members here. There's a Supreme Court cases that say there's a public domain and private domain. Now, most lawyers don't even know that and then try to assume right away that we're involved in unauthorized practice of law, which is not the case because we never deal with public clients, only private members.
Well, Carl, I got a question for you. This is really cool. How did you get involved in this? What led you to form the association get this kicked off?
42 years ago, I've got a master's degree in physics and half of a doctorate, okay? And I was teaching engineering science at a community college. And the IRS came around and said they want to audit my tax return, okay? And I said, well, I don't know why you'd want to do that. I mean, my salary was so low, I was ashamed to tell somebody what it was. And
yeah,
I said,
here's
I filed
my
return.
What's there to the audit, right?
Yeah, and I filed my return. I probably paid more than it was due. So why would you want to audit me? Well, you said a computer picked me out. I said, well, how did the computer pick me out? He said, well, we don't have to tell you that. And I said, well, does the taxpayer have any rights? And he said, no, they don't. You just have to show up and show your books and records. Well, I went to the law library, you know, because I like to do research, and I found out there's a whole bunch of things that the IRS has to do before they even ask for the audit. For example, the Privacy Act of 1974. There's five questions they have to answer. There's several court decisions that say there's certain information they have. So I came up with 30 questions that the IRS must answer before they do an audit. So I sent it to him. Well, of course, when I went to the audit then, I said, did you answer those 30 questions? He says, well, the IRS doesn't have to answer those silly questions. Well, eventually they issued a summons, and so you have to appear for a summons, and I send the same 30 questions, and so then because they didn't see books and records, they tried court enforcement in federal district court in Houston, in fact. Okay, and when we went to court and the agent was on the witness stand, I was allowed to ask the 30 questions. When I asked the first question, the agent said, well, we don't have to answer those.
Let me stop for a second. They took you to court because you were not cooperative in responding to the audit? Is that the basis they took
you to court? Well, the summons, yeah. See, after an audit, there's a summons. And if you don't cooperate on the audit, which is voluntary, well, then there's an IRS summons, which means you have to show up. But Reisman versus Kaplan, the U.S. Supreme Court, says if you show up, you have to show up. But when you show up, you either give them the records or give your proper good faith objections. Of course, I gave them my proper good faith objections. And so based on that, they went for court enforcement in federal district court right there in Houston. Okay, then in court, in the hearing, they put the agent on the witness stand and said, you know, he followed all proper procedures and so forth and so on. So I said, well, did you answer the 30 questions? He said, no, I didn't. He said, the IRS doesn't have to answer those silly questions. Well, the judge looked at him and said, well, I think you do. And so they dismissed the case. So I won the case, okay. Now,
so
I had a friend in the state.
My question is, why didn't that propel you to go on to law school and become a lawyer and get to do that every day?
Well, I had already spent almost seven years in school, okay. So I didn't feel like I could spend economic-wise and otherwise to do that. And didn't have an inclination. But anyway, let me finish the story. I had a friend in the state of Washington. He said, this is fantastic. He said, let me put together some people, some businessmen that like to learn about this, and I'll fly you up here and you can give a seminar on this. Well, I did, and of course they just went nuts about it, you know, that anybody could do something like this because their lawyers and CPAs always told them what? Well, you have to comply, you have to give all your books and records, and that cost them, of course, thousands of dollars. Your CPA is going to charge them $25,000 just to show books and records. And, of course, they could avoid that. Anyway,
they don't always charge that much now. Come on.
Well, I know, but that's what they say.
All right. Making a point. Understood.
Yeah. And so then from then on, it would just went crazy. I'm flying all over the United States and mostly the West and also Alaska giving seminars on IRS legal defense. And so that's so I started the association. In those days it was called American Law Association, which now is called Pro Advocate Group. And that's how it began. And so then I added other programs, the research that I've done in different areas on my own as the association grew. And so here we are today with Pro Advocate Group, and we have, you know, about 10 different programs. One of our main programs is judgment-proofing assets, even if they serve a lawsuit. And, of course, that just sets the lawyers crazy because they say, well, there's no way. Well, the only thing that's holding you up on that is the Fraudulent Transfer Act. And that's why nothing else works. There's no, there's 100 companies out there advertising
right.
asset protection, but it's a bunch
right.
of baloney because LLCs
well,
and corporations.
All,
I'm sorry?
To educate our audience a little bit, if
okay.
you have a civil lawsuit, breach of contract case or injury case or whatever,
right.
it's absolutely inadmissible, anything about the assets of a defendant until and unless you get an actual judgment. The only
right.
real exception, the only real exception, is if there's a solid gross negligence claim or fraud claim. There are times that, depending on the issues, you can get assets. But normally, that does not come into play until after there's a judgment against you. And then
right.
you are right. If there's a judgment against you, the only way they go past the named defendant for collection of that judgment is if there's a fraudulent transfer, like a corporation that's a decides to transfer a lot of their assets to somebody else, you can
right.
pierce through that or pierce the corporate veil if it's not acting as a real corporation following normal corporate procedures. And so
right.
you're right. Assets are pretty protected if it's done correctly, but if not done correctly,
well, well, the point is, though,
you can have problems.
We use a Texas joint stock company set up under common law. Even though it's in common law, it's recognized in Texas by statute. It's not regulated, but it's still unincorporated and recognized by statute. And it's the only entity that's set up by private contract. So when they try to come back with after the judgment then and say, oh, you transferred your assets before judgment to a joint stock company, they try to go back to that same judge and say, well, based on the Fraudulent Transfer Act, we need an order to make him bring the assets back to himself personally. Well, then we argue that that statute is unconstitutional because Article 1, Section 10 of the U.S. Constitution says no state shall pass any law impairing the obligation of a private contract. And in Texas, Constitution says the same thing. It says no, the state cannot pass a law like the Fraudulent Transfer Act to impair private contracts. And we've been doing this for 42 years, okay, and been very successful at it. And yet you talk to an attorney, and he'll tell you that, of course, this can't happen. Well, it can't happen.
Well, most attorneys would say that a trust properly set up can protect assets, or, you know, if you've got a lawsuit against you.
Well, only
not,
have 4 years.
It's not
to see
illegal.
The extinguishment clause.
It's
a trust
not
doesn't protect you in the
to start
first 4 years.
Corporation.
Because you're gifting the property into a trust. Now, after 4 years, the extinguishment clause of the Fraudulent Transfer Act, it will. But how many attorneys are even recommending that? I've never heard an attorney say you need to transfer your assets to trust to judgment-proof them.
Well, it depends on the circumstances, like most cases. But, you know, there's times that they can pierce through the corporate veil, but it's very difficult. If somebody contracts with a corporation and does not get a personal guarantee, then the only defendant is the corporation. If they sue the corporation, it's not illegal to start a new corporation so that, you know, new business is in a new entity that is...
Well, I'm talking about if the individual gets sued, okay, and maybe he transferred his assets to a corporation 3 years ago before the lawsuit even, okay. There's cases where they come back and say, well, he transferred his assets to this corporation from an individual in contemplation of defrauding creditors, and they've gotten an order to from the judge to bring those assets back from the corporation to the individual. Yeah, we're not talking about if the corporation gets sued. I'm talking about protecting your assets as an individual. Okay. So what we do,
gotcha.
Once you even get sued, we transfer assets to a Texas Joint Stock Company, okay, as long as it's not before final judgment, and we get around the Fraudulent Transfer Act, because the Fraudulent Transfer Act cannot apply to private contracts because of constitutional protection.
Interesting. Well, Carl, I've gotten a message from our producer, and I have to get you to how do people get to you? How do they contact you? How do they learn more about what you're doing? Because I've got to wrap it up here in about a minute.
Okay. Well, our phone number is area code 214-387-0821. We have an email that's protection@proadvocate.org, and we have a website that's proadvocate.org. So one of those three things that they can contact or they can learn about us, yes.
So, well, this has been great to have you on the show, and we've gotten a lot of great information. I'm sure our audience has learned a lot from what you had to tell us, and we appreciate you coming on. And we've got to head to commercial now, but thank you so much for being a guest.
Okay, thanks so much.
All right, thanks for coming on. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Imagine taking your business to the masses using proven marketing techniques. What if you could take what you love and turn it into a six-figure business in the next 2 years? Or a $500,000 business in the next 3 to 4 years? Michelle Sism went from struggling to build her coaching practice to doing $500,000 in her business in less than 4 years when she uncovered the secrets to converting audiences to clients. In Cash In on Your Expertise, Michelle shares the exact strategy she used to build her business so quickly. Get your free copy today at www.cashinonyourexpertise.com.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Listen to The Legal Eagle and The Coach each Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. on Tough Talk Radio Network. Leading local and national experts in business will share their keys to success so that our listening audience can be educated and entertained along the way to becoming all they can be. So whether you're new to business or highly experienced, The Legal Eagle and The Coach with hosts David Alterburn and Brian Kaiser is a great radio program for you. For more information, go to LegalEagleAndTheCoachRadio.com.
Welcome back, listeners, to another episode of Legal Eagle and the Coach. I'm the coach, Brian Kaiser, here with the soaring legal eagle, Mr. David Altenburn. And this segment is brought to us by our good friend Mike Calderwood over at Calderwood Coaching. And he wants to know, are you a small business, a small business owner, a home-based business owner, a solopreneur, or a network marketer who's wearing too many hats? Are you burnt out? Are you lost on where to go next? Let certified professional coach and 21-year entrepreneur Mike Calderwood help. With a strategic approach and proven methods, Mike will help you look at what's working well and what isn't in your business, then together with you, create a plan and an implementation process to bring you back to thriving. Mike Calderwood providing straightforward solutions for gaining a real advantage in your business. You can find Mike at www.mikecalderwood.net. And now I have a guest on our show whom I've been following for at least 6 months on Twitter and Facebook, and actually got to tune into Mr. Mike Calderwood's podcast when he had you on. Ray, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Excellent. I appreciate you coming on. We got to go back and forth a little bit on the Facebook Messenger, and real excited to have you on the show and kind of, tell people what you do and how you do it. And we have a lot of listeners that tune into this show because they're solopreneurs and they're growing into entrepreneur and, you know, more of the lifestyle where they have people and they have teams, and they're always interested in learning more about how to do that. And we have a lot of the home-based business people, which are, you know, a lot of them are in the multi-level marketing world. So before we get into questions about all the cool stuff, tell us a little bit about who Ray Higdon is.
Yeah, absolutely. So a few years ago, I was working in corporate America, and I didn't like the fact that I was spending more time with pictures of my kids than the real thing. And, you know, it was the more that I worked, they would pay me more, but they also demanded more. And I just didn't like that model. And so I actually went out and started a real estate company and, you know, was working pretty much the same kind of hours. So I didn't really change that fact. But when the market changed here in the state of Florida, you know, I didn't know to adapt. I didn't have the know-how. I hadn't, you know, educated myself enough. And so when the market changed, I got beat up really bad. I ended up in personal foreclosure, lost every single dime that I made during that 4 years of being in real estate, and I found myself at a crossroads. A buddy invited me to a home party, one of those things, and I went there, and I said, what the heck, I got nothing else going on, and I just threw my all at it. And, you know, from 2009 being in personal foreclosure, we've now done, you know, over $1 million in commissions and network marketing, but we've also built a multi-million-dollar coaching and training business a year. And life is different. So we coach and train network marketers of all, you know, companies and all around the globe, and we create products for them and also coach them.
Wow. That is awesome. Well, you know, they say character's built at your lowest points, and it sounds like you have become the proverbial phoenix that has risen from the ashes to great success. So I think you have a lot to offer our audience. You know, as long as we've had this show since last October, I don't know that we've had someone on our show who has focused on how to be successful in building the teams that are necessary to be really successful at multi-level marketing or home-based businesses. So welcome to our show. And what keys to success would you give those out there that are thinking about venturing out into home businesses or, you know, the multi-level marketing type businesses?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a few things that people need kind of a heads up on when they enter into this type of profession. I would say the number one, you know, quick killer of people who might be successful at network marketing is they come into network marketing and they seek two things that they'll never get, and that's acceptance and approval. So they join network marketing, and then they quickly go to their friends and family members, and they haven't been trained on how to approach them. And when they get rejected, when they get told that it's a scam, that it'll never work out, they just fall by the wayside because they weren't prepared for that. And so I tell people that if you're affected by the opinions of others, you don't have a big shot of making it over here. That would be number one. Number two would be the expectations of others. You know, a lot of people, they get into network marketing, they recruit a few people. They get, you know, things are going well. And then they sit back and say, okay, guys, go produce. And they climb up into their lifeguard chair and start barking orders. And, you know, it could work that way. It might work that way, but it doesn't usually work that way. Usually, you work and work and work and work and work and work and work. And somewhere along the line, you find a leader that runs. And then you work, 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 and you find another leader. And so this is one of those businesses that, because it's low barrier to entry, a lot of people join, but not a lot of people work. And so you're constantly looking for who's open to looking at the deal, who's going to join, who's going to lead. And those are three distinct types of categories that you want to look for, and you keep going until.
Well, great. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, you do, you post out a lot of different things. You have some videos and you have different tweets, but one of the things you talk about is helping people with their recruiting, and then, of course, with also, you know, getting leads and how to get leads. What are some advice on those things? Because I know that there's two different they're really two different things. But in the multi-level marketing, when you're getting some of the leads to come in for people that might be interested in the products, I know you always have your eye open and your ear to the ground for certain things that they may do or say that would open up a door for you to kind of bring them into the business. What are some of those things that you teach people regularly for those two areas?
Yeah, and they are two pretty distinct areas. You know, there's two categories of building any network marketing business, and that's prospecting and marketing. Prospecting, mm-hmm. I call active prospecting. You're reaching out to an individual. It could be online, offline, cold market, warm market, but it's an individual transaction of communication. So if I go and I knock on my next door neighbor's you know, house.
Relationship building. Relationship building to get your team started.
Sure, yeah. Now, marketing is passive. Marketing means I create a unit of communication that I hope an unnamed individual reacts or responds to. So that could be a blog, that could be a video, it could be an article, it could be an ad, it could be a banner, it could be, there's all kinds of different things there. So when it comes to
networking events where you're going out to folks you don't know and maybe, you know, meeting people that way to try to build more relationships and build sales.
That would fall more under prospecting unless you're actually speaking. Now, if you're speaking at that event and you're doing a call to action to come up to you and communicate with you, I would call that more marketing. But if you're going to a networking event, that's pretty active. You're going to talk to individuals face-to-face, one-on-one. That'd be more prospecting, just in my opinion. In prospecting land, the best bit of advice I can give people is say less to more people. And this is something that is it's something I'm chanting. I'm hoping that more network marketers hear, because the truth is no one's turned off by network marketing. They're turned off by network marketers because they chase them, they beg them, they bug them, they trick them, they say way too much, they throw up all over them, the verbal vomit, and we just want to get the hell out of there. So, say less to more people. I see if someone's open. If they're open, hey, are you open and taking a look at a side project that didn't interfere with what you're currently doing? If they're open, I grab their information, I follow up with them, I put them through a process. I have them watch a video, maybe attend a meeting, whatever happens to be the soup du jour, at that point. And if they're not, they don't hear anything else. So they may never be invited to check out what I got going on if they're not open. And that's say less to more people. As far as marketing, what's really worked for us, our blog gets 3,000 to 4,000 leads every single month, and that is from what we call attraction marketing. We put value into the marketplace via podcasts, videos, blogs that help to solve the problems of people in my target market, which is existing network marketers. When they see that they can opt in and locate 29 places to find people to talk to about their deal, they will gladly exchange their information to get that bit of training. That's how we generate leads. Now, as far as communicating with those leads, we just see where their problems are. Sometimes they're looking for a company to join. Sometimes they're looking for help with recruiting. Sometimes they're looking for marketing help. And we look to see what can we do to best help them, and then we point them along the way.
That's a fantastic system. When you've been successful at this business, and there's a lot of people, like you said, a lot of people join, but very few actually progress and succeed. When you're bringing someone into your organization and building them as part of your team, how do you get past, and I know it's probably the number one thing is, people, when you invite them to, as you put it, that meeting, one of those in-home meetings, and people are like, oh, right off the bat. How do you get past that? Because I'm sure our guests, our audience would love to know just one little thing that you do to get past that little hiccup, because that seems to be a deal killer right off the bat.
It depends on the rapport of the individual that I'm communicating with. And it all depends on their energy. So if I say, hey, I got this thing going on at my house, I'd love to have you over, that probably means you're in my warm market more than likely. Now, if they are harsh, like if they say, that one of those pyramid things, they are no longer invited. That's how I roll.
Ah, okay. So you just take it away.
I do. And, sometimes, and when I say take away, most people, they think, oh, that means he's enticing them to want to be more interested. Well, it does work that way, but I truly am disqualifying them. Now, if they come back to me with a different energy, a different attitude at some point in time, I'll chat with them, but I'm not doing a takeaway in the mere hope of I sure hope they ask me about it again, because I believe in abundance. I believe that there are so many people out there and jobs that they absolutely hate and bosses that don't celebrate or appreciate them, that they need what we got. They need what we got. They don't,
right.
I don't need what they got. I don't need their opinion, but they need what we got. And, not everybody. Some people are super happy in their jobs and super happy with their income and their lifestyle and you know, rainbows and unicorns, but a lot of people aren't. And so when someone is super cynical, skeptical, nasty, I just don't want to put in that effort to transform them into someone positive that might have a shot at making this thing work. They probably aren't going to make it work. Now, if they're genuinely asking out of, they just don't know, like, hey, is this one of those, like, pyramid things? You know, I'll typically ask them, well, what do you mean by that? And the funny thing is, they don't know what they mean by that. And so I say, listen, come check it out. If you like it, great. If not, no big deal. And I do this. It's just a nonchalant, hey, come check it out. If you don't like it, I'll never talk to you about it again. It's really not a big deal. But I think you might like it. And so that's kind of my nonchalant, easygoing way. I do not try to recruit every person that I talk to. That would be way too strenuous. I simply go talk to more people.
Gotcha.
Let me ask this. I know some folks that have gotten successful in the multi-level marketing, and their approach is essentially touch as many people that are real prospects in their mind during the week, and then they'll rent out a place or have a place that they've worked out an arrangement that maybe once a week, then they bring everybody that Tuesday night, let's say at 7 o'clock, have coffee, cookies, and then they've brought all these folks in that they've touched during the week for a meeting that then they talk about it. You know, are you on the treadmill of going to and from work every day? How would you like to change your life and get more freedom and balance and all those good things? What's your thoughts about that approach to things? Is that how you work, or do you know others that work that way?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a million ways to build network marketing. That is one way. I have done that way. I mean, there at one point in my career, I had done 1 to 2 home meetings or meetings like that, restaurant meetings, hotel meetings, et cetera, every day for 6 months straight. And it's not my most favorite method. You know, I mean, we'll do that same thing, but we'll generate the leads online and invite them to a webinar. And we'll have 100 people with zero overhead on a webinar. And we'll present it in front of 100 of them and follow up with them. And so I'm not saying I don't do that, because I do. I just don't do it. That's not my main mode of operation.
Okay, because for some folks that I know, they would get maybe 20 or 30 max per week.
Sure.
And their thought process
was
out of those 20 or 30, half will express serious interest, and out of those, maybe half will really join the team. But if you're adding 5 or 6 people a week to your team, eventually you're going to have a pretty large team that's going to make you successful.
Absolutely. This business, it all boils down to eyeballs on the presentation. That's what it boils down to. Whether it's, you know, DVD, online video, hotel meeting, restaurant meeting, home meeting, one-on-one, face-to-face, however you're doing it. This business is strictly eyeballs on the presentation, just like really sales. I mean, there's not a humongous difference between your standard, you know, sales job of selling anything. It's how many people are you connecting with and offering whatever you have to offer. The only difference in network marketing is it's a leveraged way to sell, and that typically when you're selling something, you're not teaching them to go out and sell the same thing and you get an override. You're just selling them one thing one time, and maybe they're a repeat customer, but you don't get paid off their efforts.
Right. And you can reach a lot more people with the online approach because it's virtually unlimited in that aspect. One question that I have, and you mentioned it briefly, is some people come to you and they want you to look and help them pick a multi-level marketing company to join, to get into. How do you know? You've researched several of them, I'm sure. How do you pick which one would be best for them? How do you isolate that down to where you would know out of all these 50 or 100, these three might be best for you to take a look at?
Sure. Great question. You know, the first factor that you evaluate is you evaluate their goals. My goals are very different than most people's goals. I'm on track and I'm building a business that I want to create $1 million a month in residual income. That's what I want. That's how I swing, right? Not everyone wants that. And so I would ask the person, you know, what is it that you really want? Because some people, they're like, you know what? I just want to have a fun group to hang out with. Awesome. You know, that's cool, right? That's I also want that, but that's not my primary goal. My primary goal is to build a business that lasts forever and will provide for me and my family forever, right? Find out their goal. And then my four favorite things to evaluate in a company is community, support, leadership, and training. Now, if you notice, the two things that most people look for, product and comp plan, are not in the top four. Now, you can have,
right.
I've seen it.
Say that again,
I've seen
what most people look for that are not in your top four?
They typically look for the greatest product or the greatest compensation plan. They look for one of those. And the reasons, mm-hmm. I am not suggesting that you get into a company that has a terrible product. That's a, well, duh. Okay, you don't get into a company that has a bad product. That's not the deal. However, there have been, thousands of companies with amazing products that didn't have the leadership that didn't make it. And so it is it's not enough to have a revolutionary, amazing product. That is not enough. It's also not enough to have
great service. It doesn't matter what you do. I think that's a great point. There's a lot of talented people in the world with great products and services, but that alone is not enough. Great point.
Yeah. And then the other one is comp plan. I mean, most people, they're like, what's the most aggressive comp plan? Well, I know quite a few. I know about a dozen companies that had really aggressive comp plans, and they paid themselves out of business. And that's not a joke. They literally couldn't keep the doors open.
Right.
And what the hell good is that? You know, I don't want to – if you just want to get paid for a short period of time, network marketing is not a fit. Go sell cars, go sell real estate, go do anything else, and you can make a big chunk, from here to whenever. But if you want, mm-hmm. if you're in network marketing, you better be looking at this as long-term, because it is not a short-term deal, and that's just the thing. So the four factors, community, support, training, leadership, those are the four things that I've seen transform people from non-success to success, and those four have the biggest, in my opinion, effect on helping the average person create success long term.
Excellent points. Excellent points. I enjoy your blog. I follow you on Twitter and of course on Facebook, and retweet a lot of your posts there. So I really enjoy you coming on the show and telling us about some of the things you do and giving us our audience some tips and things. How would they get in touch with you if they wanted to get some additional coaching or maybe some one-on-one time with you?
Yeah. I have a blog that we've been blogging 5 to 7 times a week for 5 years straight. So there's lots of free training on there on marketing, recruiting, mindset, team building, et cetera. That's at rayhigdon.com. That's rayhigdon.com. We also have a podcast. It's at rayhigdon.com/podcast. Gets about 150,000 downloads a month, and we post on there very, very short segments that simply answer one or two questions about the home business profession.
Awesome. Ray, thanks so much for coming on the show. Really appreciate you being a guest today.
Thanks for having me on.
You've given great advice to the entrepreneurs out there that, and you give it in such brilliant, simple ways about prospecting and marketing and not getting hung up about rejection. So we really appreciate you coming on our show. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Will do. We'll be back after these commercials.
Are you looking to simplify your life and automate your business, but don't want to mess with learning multiple systems to do so? Good. You don't have to. Infusionsoft combines everything your business needs. Let the team at Growth Coaching Systems set up your email, CRM, and e-commerce into a single online system today. It's the easiest way to grow sales and save time. One monthly payment, one software to learn, and have it all on one dashboard. Infusionsoft. Get it now and market and sell like the pros. For more information or to sign up for Infusionsoft, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com/Infusionsoft.
So you think you're tough enough for a tough talk with Tony Gambone? Tony knows how to dish it out. Can you take it? Tony Gambone is a communicator, mentor, and entrepreneur whose tough style and generous spirit quickly garnered recognition in many a competitive arena. Now he's bringing his intelligence and knowledge to you as a hard-hitting radio talk show host and thought leader. Tune in and see for yourself. Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. It's a sure thing. To find out more, go to toughtalkwithtonygambone.com.
If you know someone who wants the legal A-team on their side, have them call on Altenburn & Associates, the Legal Eagle, today. David Altenburn is an experienced and recognized top lawyer in Houston who will put an eagle's eye to protecting the client's best interests at all times. For any personal injury, family law, or business law concern, Altenburn & Associates can help with our connections that count and make a difference for great results. We work hard for the justice our clients deserve, earning client trust and opponent respect, one case at a time. For legal help, call 281-904-6330 today.
Well, welcome back to another edition of Legal Eagle and the Coach. This is David Altenburn, attorney, and we had an interesting show today. We had our first guest, unlike any guest we've had before, Carl Dahlstrom, through his own legal experience many years ago in battling the IRS on an audit situation, was inspired to set up a private membership group that assists people in representing themselves as pro se litigants or doctors defending apparently grievances and challenges to their license to practice medicine before medical boards. And well-schooled in literature and the U.S. Constitution and fighting those battles and has apparently won several challenges of unauthorized practice of law, recognizes that him and his group cannot appear in court because they're not licensed attorneys, but apparently has literature and advice out there for their members should they choose to engage their services at rates lower than attorneys. And then we had a guest that really was for the home-based business, multi-level marketing, who gives the encouragement out there that you got a prospect and you got a market and you got to be ready for rejection if you want to take a long-term view to success. And Mr. Coach, that seems like it'd be right up your alley as far as encouraging people to success. What are your thoughts for today?
You know, I thought we had an outstanding show. You know, the first guest, he did bring a totally different viewpoint than anything I've heard before. And you and him got to banter about that a good bit. And I think we got a lot of information out of that, out of that interview. So that was really cool. And then, of course, we went to someone I've been following for several months now, Ray Higdon. He has a great blog. He helps a lot of people, especially in the home-based and multi-level marketing world, because there's a lot of misconceptions to that business. There's a lot of misexpectations, if you would, because people see and think that you're going to get rich quick. And he kind of dispelled that myth a little bit by stating that multi-level marketing, you get in there and it's a business that you build, and you build it through relationships. And you build it over time, and you be strategic. He gave some pointers on how you build your team, how you recruit and build your team. He gave some tips on how you get leads to sell the products and bring those people in. And then, of course, he also gave us some really, really good tips on what to look for if you're trying to get into one of those businesses. And his main point was, don't look at the products or the comp plan. Go and look at the leadership. Go and look at what they do. Who's there? Who's behind those great products? Who's behind those great services that they're providing? What are those people and who are they really? So that you get into a situation where it's a win for you and it's a win for them, and you can build a lasting, sustainable business. It's been a great show, David. I had a great time.
Yes, it's been interesting. We try to educate and entertain the entrepreneurs out there, and we've brought many different folks, some of which are business coaches just like yourself that have their own approach, their own niche. And today we had a home-based business expert who, very ambitious, $1 million a month ambition, that he had some good advice out there. And our first guest, you know, he's someone that if someone really truly finds himself in a legal pitch and cannot afford an attorney or just wants to take a look at his approach, he could be reached and perhaps give assistance that's very valuable. Because, you know, not every case does require an attorney, but then at the same time, the more serious the matter is, to be a pro se litigant tends not to be very successful in the courts. And constitutional challenges to state law, like he talked, is not always easy and not always successful. But he sounds like he's extremely serious and educated in his approach to things, so he may be a resource out there for our audience. Our show is fun.
Definitely.
We learn every week, and we hope our audience learns every week, and looking forward to doing it again next week.
Yes, sir. We'll be back next week, same time, Wednesday at noon. Till then, we will see you later.
Take care.
You have been listening to Legal and the Coach with David Altenburn and Brian Kaiser on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, visit toughtalkradionetwork.com.